Come on, Journey Church. How are you guys doing this morning? Come on, 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row is the first time. And for those who don't know me, my name is Junior. And by the way, I'm an interactive pastor, okay? So this is not a monologue, it's a dialogue. So if I say something that's good, you can say amen. Come on, if it's really good, say hallelujah. If you feeling it, say praise the Lord. Come on, I want you to know you are in that house and we can do that. Boynton, Lake Worth. Wait, I'm in Lake Worth, ain't I? I got so excited. I'm shouting out the wrong campus. But would you help me to welcome our Boynton campus, our West Palm campus, church at home? Man, I am so honored that I get to be here live with you guys at Lake Worth this week. And by the way, I made some friends backstage. And there's some friends from the youth. And one of them came up to me and said, you know why I like you? Because I think you're funny. And I'm like, I'm funny? I keep telling jokes because I'm trying to be funny. And so what I realized is this. I'm like, in their honor, and you know who you are, my friends that I just met, in their honor, today I'm going to start off with a joke. And it may be a dad joke. It may not be a dad joke. You're going to tell me anyway if it's good or not, right? And so let's start this joke off. Here we go. So a man goes to God, and he says, God, what's 1,000 years like for you? Like 1,000 years, what's 1,000 years like for you? And God says, and 1,000 years is like a minute, right? And he's like, wow, a minute, that's insane. He's like, God, let me ask you a question. What's like $1 million like for you? Like, but the 1970 million before inflation when it was really a lot of money. So what's $1 million like to you, God? And God says, $1 million is like a penny. He's like, wow, that's insane, man. $1 million is like a penny. He's like, he thinks for a moment and says, well, God, can I get a penny? And God says, yeah, give me a minute. Come on, I don't care who you are. That's good right there. Did you get it? Right? A penny, $1 million, a minute, 1,000 years. Listen, if you got to explain the joke, it's not that funny. But I think this one was okay. But today, guys, I want to talk to you about time. Come on, time is one of the most precious commodities that we have. Come on, one day we're going to get to be with the Lord for eternity, and it's going to be amazing. But until that day, God has given each of us a special amount of time to accomplish the purpose that he has for us. Now, I need you to know this, Journey Church. Every single person here in Boynton, Lake Worth, we are in Lake Worth, West Palm, wherever you're at, here's what I need you to know. I need you to know this. God created you on purpose for a purpose. You are not a mistake. I don't care who you are. If you're listening to this message right now, I need you to know this. God planned you intentionally. Here's the thing. There's a problem in the world today that shouldn't be here when you leave. God really made you with something special in mind. And so today, we're going to talk about time management. But better yet, I want to talk about me. Man, let's get rid of the T. Let's get rid of the I. Let's talk about me management. Because here's the thing. We can't add hours to the day or remove hours from the day. God manages time. We can manage ourselves within the amount of time that God has given us. Now, there's this saying that says time is money. Have you ever heard that saying? Time is money, right? Here's the thing, church. Time is not money. Time is everything. Because time is the only resource that you can never get back. So you can lose money and make more. You can lose a house and build another one. But once your time is gone, you can never get that time back. And so today, let's pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be with us in this time. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message that you've put on my heart. God, I thank you for this time that we get to spend together. And Lord, I just pray that within this time that you would speak to us exactly what it is that we need to hear. Not only would we hear it, but that we would receive it, take action with it so it can produce transformation in our lives so we can live on purpose for your purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Now, church, I want to start off with a Bible verse that I read years ago that baffled me. Come on, have you ever read a verse in the Bible that just baffled you? Come on, you ever read a verse where you're like, Lord, I don't know about that one, right? Have you ever read a verse where you're like, it just doesn't feel right, right? Can I remind you guys, even if it doesn't feel right, God is still right. Like, listen, I'm not trying to say your feelings ain't bad. He cares about your feelings, but whatever you feel, his word is still right over your feeling. Amen? Amen. And so therefore, today I want to share this verse with you because maybe upon hearing it, you'll feel the same way that I did. Maybe you'll say, man, it doesn't feel right. But there's a truth in this word that I believe is going to bless us today. So here we go. Let's jump into Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 2. I'm telling you, this baffled me when I read it. You guys ready? Ecclesiastes 7, verse 2. It says, it's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for that is the end of all men, and the living should take it to heart. I'm going to say that again. It's better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting. The version that I read, that's the New King James, the version that I read said, it's better to go to a funeral than a barbecue. Come on, church, I gotta tell y'all, I don't know if y'all been to the barbecues that I've been to. I don't know if you've even been to Mission Barbecue. What I'm trying to say, I done been to some barbecues, right? Where you got some ribs that just fall off the bone, the sticky barbecue sauce, you got some, I'm getting hungry just talking about it. Listen, let's just take a poll, okay? Let's just take a poll. Anybody in here love a good barbecue or good barbecue food? Raise your hand, come on, we interact. If you love a good barbecue, come on, my vegans, I see you ain't raised your hand. Grilled zucchini, grilled asparagus, all of it is good. I'm just saying a barbecue or a feast, right? So, okay. Second question, how many in here love funerals? Raise your hand. If you love a good funeral, raise your, okay. True story. The other day, I'm driving while I was preparing for this message, and I seen this dude driving around a tricked out Hearst. Now, you could tell that it was no longer operational. Y'all remember the show Pimp My Ride? Like, this guy had rims, he had a system and lights in the Hearst. And so I'm thinking to myself, that dude probably loves funerals. But for the rest of us, right, it's safe to say, okay, last question, just to drive this point home. Who in here would rather go to a funeral than to a barbecue? Raise your hand. So it's safe to say, Boynton, it's safe to say, West Palm, that we prefer to go to a barbecue than to a funeral. But God in his brilliance knew this about us. By the way, I don't know if you've read the Old Testament, but they were always feasting. I mean, they knew how to party. Listen, even Jesus' first miracle, turning water into wine, they party for days. And God is good with that, right? And he knew that we would love feasting. And that's why in his brilliance, he makes this comparison. He says, guys, here's the thing. You know how much you like to party? You know how much you like a good barbecue? You know how much you love a good feast? Here's the thing. Going to a funeral is better. It's better. Why? Because it reminds you just how precious time is. It reminds you how mortal you are. It reminds you that, listen, some of us, we're not even thinking about dying this week. We already think about 30 years from now, I'm going to get a golf course, a lake house, a golf cart, all this stuff. And God says, but you don't even know if you're going to be here next week. God says funerals remind you to prompt the question, what am I here for? Am I accomplishing the purpose that God created me to do on this earth? And so therefore today, I want to focus on three principles that I believe will help us not only fulfill our purpose, but also maximize our time. Journey, it's going to help us to fulfill our purpose if we apply them, but also maximize our time. See, the first principle is this. Invest time with the Creator so you know what you were created for. Come on, Journey. Invest time with the Creator so you know what you were created for. Did you know that one of the most Googled questions in the world is, what's my purpose? People want to know what their purpose is. Here's the thing. If you went to a convention, right, Journey, and you saw this like really cool gadget, like this really cool trinket, and you're like, man, this thing is awesome. I wonder what it does. what would you do? You would probably go to the one who created it, and you would say, hey, by the way, what does this thing actually do? And the person who made it can actually tell you if it's doing what it's supposed to do or not doing what it's supposed to do. Well, guys, if that makes sense with a gadget, why wouldn't it make sense with us? Like, if we want to know what we were created for, wouldn't it just make sense to go to the one who created us to ask him if we're actually doing the thing that he created us to do? Come on, not only does God have a plan for your life, he wants to be involved in that plan for your life. Amen? He wants to be involved in your daily life. Come on, when you think about this for a moment, God will actually give you the vision, right? He'll give you a vision. Hey, by the way, some of you guys have had dreams of building a business. He'll give you the vision. And then he'll even give you the play, but he won't give you the playbook. Come on, I need you to receive that, Journey Church. God will give you the vision. He'll give you the play, but he won't give you the playbook. Why? Because if we had the playbook of our lives, we would try to run the play by ourselves and we may forget God. We may try to say, okay, God, I'm gonna go fulfill this. And if we go and we fulfill the purpose on our own without God, we've missed it. Come on, guys, God designed this. He designed you so that you can do this with him together. Come on, if we look at the Israelites, God was involved in their daily life. Come on, let's look at Exodus chapter 13, verse 21. It says that the Lord went ahead of them. By the way, that's what he does in our life. He goes ahead of us. He says, and he guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or by night. See, God wants to be involved in our day-to-day. See, Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is saying, by the way, my word, as you read my word, it's a lamp unto your feet. It's not gonna light up the whole path, but it's gonna light up the next step. So at least we know what the next step is, amen? And here's the thing, God won't always take you the shortest way. Come on, church, we keep trying to tell God, no, we wanna go this way. God says, we're going that way. You're like, but God, I wanna go this way. But God says, but you don't see what I see. You don't know how that business deal is gonna turn out if you go this way. You don't know how the relationship is gonna turn out if you go this way. Would you sit with me and ask me and consult with me? Because I see what you cannot see. See, we'll see this again with the Israelites. So Exodus 13, verse 17 through 18, it says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though it was actually the shortest route to the promised land. So get this, God is saying, hey, I'm gonna lead you guys out of here. By the way, I'm gonna take you on some back roads. I'm not gonna take you the 11-day journey, the shortest way through Philistine territory, nah, we ain't gonna go that way. He says, even though it was the shortest way, God says, if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Aren't we glad that God led them through the Red Sea? Here's the thing. Many of you may not even know the Bible well, but have you ever heard about God splitting the Red Sea? Come on, sometimes God will take us in a way that we need a miracle and he will perform the miracle. And as he performs these miracles in the wilderness, our faith grows. Come on, guys, let's not get frustrated with God that he's not taking you on the shortest route. God sees the things that you can't see. So don't run in the Philistine country. See, some of us are running the Philistine. We're trying to go in our own direction. But if we go in that direction, we may risk having to run back and do it all over again. And God is saying, guys, I see what you don't see. I want to protect you. I want to lead you. I am for you. And by the way, in case you didn't know, the wilderness is a place where I build a relationship with you and teach you how to trust me. Amen? Principle number two, learn the power of no. Come on, y'all. We got to learn the power of no. Do me a favor. Turn to your neighbor and just say no. It wasn't that hard, was it? Some of y'all need more practice. Turn to your other neighbor and tell them, no. Come on. Journey, did you know that every time you say yes, You're actually saying no to anything else that could have filled that spot. Now, here's the thing. I know it feels good to say yes. People smile when you say yes. They may get upset when you say no, and you don't want them to get upset with you because we like to please people, and so therefore we're giving out all of these yeses. But here's the thing. We need to say no to good things so we can say yes to God things, and not every good thing is a God thing. Amen? Come on. Some of us have said no to spending time with God because we've said too many yeses. And so we say we don't have the time, right? Unfortunately, I just don't have the time, right? Some of us have said no to our family because we've said too many yeses out there. And because of all the yeses that we have right now, we don't have the time to spend with our family. Well, here's what I want to challenge you to do, Journey Church. Go and repo some of your yeses. Repossess those yeses. Turn them into no's so you can upgrade to a better yes. Time with God is a better yes. Time with your family is a better yes. Your time is limited. We need to get a better yes. See, I wrote it this way. The wrong yes hurts more than the right no. Come on, somebody. The wrong yes hurts no more than the right no. See, the right no hurts right now, but it blesses them in the future, right? But the wrong yes feels good now. They're like, thank you. But it hurts people in the future when we don't fulfill what we said we were going to do. See, as you guys know, I have a 2-year-old baby boy named Elliot, okay? Now, Elliot is super sweet. I love him. And right now, we're trying to wean him off eating with mama, okay? That is one of the hardest things to do, weaning a baby off. And so when we don't give him what he wants, ooh, let me tell you, that boy throws a fit. He's like, give me my, I want, and he's just yelling. So it's so easy to say yes in that moment, right? As a matter of fact, when I've said yes, because I'm just scared of that boy, I ain't gonna lie to you, I'm a big dude. I am scared of a 2-year-old. I am scared of that boy. When I say yes, guess what? He stops crying. He gives me a hug. He gives me a kiss. He's like, thank you, daddy. And mom looks at me and she's like, honey, like, I'm the one that's feeding him. That's coming from my body. And I said, well, the Bible says the two have become one, so technically we're both feeding him. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry, honey. She is definitely doing all the work, and so I need to stop it. But what I'm saying is when you say yes, it feels better in the moment, doesn't it? But here's the thing. When I say no, ooh, let me tell you. You know, have you ever been to Publix or Walmart or one of them stores, and before you had kids, I say before you have kids, because we say crazy things before we have kids, you see people in there with kids acting crazy, and you're like, my kids ain't never going to do that. Not my kids. I'm going to set them straight. Now, you tell that boy no in Walmart or in a public place, and he's just like throwing stuff, punching stuff. I'm like, mom, I got to go to the next aisle. I'll be right back. Can you watch him? Real quick, that no hurts in the moment. But later on, what it produces in our kids, when they've learned that you can't always get what you want, when they learn that not everything they want is good for them, then it actually blesses them in the future. Let me remind you, Journey Church, don't just give people stuff because they're making noise. Don't just say yes because they're you can be hurting them by saying yes. And many times it's our kids. How many times have we just said, you know what, this keeps them peaceful now? And so therefore, we got to make sure that we throw out the right yes, right? And also the right no's, because it will bless them. Here's the thing. God said no to the Israelites for the shorter way. God said, by the way, I'm not going to lead you the way that you want to go. I'm not going to take you on the shortest route. Yeah, I know you want to go this way. I know this business looks good in your own eyes, but you don't see what I see. Again, so I'm going to say no to the longest route, and I'm going to take you through the wilderness, because here's the thing. Some people that I've met have actually went through Philistine country. And you know what? They made it. They made it through Philistine country. They made it into the wilderness. And you know what I've learned about those people today that made it on their own to that place, to the promise, to the place where they think they have everything? Most of them are riddled with anxiety. Why? Because they never learn how to trust God in the wilderness. See, the thing about the wilderness is that's the place where we learn how to trust God in the little things. So that when we get to the promise, by the way, there are bigger problems in the promise. The thing is that you learn how to fight those battles in the wilderness so that when you get there, you are ready for whatever's ahead of you. Think about this. King David, right? You guys know David and Goliath, right? Think about this. You got this young boy, David, and he shows up, right? And he sees Goliath taunting everybody. And David shows up and he's like, by the way, I'm just telling y'all, this is how I see it in my head. He's like, what's happening, y'all? And so they turn around, they're like, David, you know, this big giant Goliath, you know, he's taunting all of us. And he's like, what y'all scared for? What y'all worried about? You worried about him? Man, listen, God gave me victory over the lions and the bears. Who is this guy? Think about this for a moment. He said God gave him victory over what? The lions and the bears. God had took him through other battles that gave him the confidence that he needed to step into this battle. And so therefore, some of us keep running from the lions and the bears. You better know that could be part of your training. You better stop running from the lions and the bears. They making noise, but God gave them victory over them. So that's why when it came to that moment, Goliath is sitting there acting all tough. David says, hold my jacket. I don't know if he said that. That's not in the Bible. What I'm saying, like, I'm telling you how I see it in my head. Hold my jacket. Let me tighten this dude up real quick. Give him my stone. Give me a stone, somebody. I'm going to show this dude he can't talk to my God the way he's talking about my God. Amen? But it's the battles in the wilderness. It's the battles in the journey when you invite him into the day-to-day that God will build your faith and build your confidence to do the thing that he called you to do. And the third point that I have, the third principle, is we got to take risks. Come on, journey. We are too afraid sometimes to step out of the boat and step out in faith. Here's the thing. If he's called you to it, he'll lead you through it. Come on. If God is for you, who can be against you? We know the words. Come on. But we have to do step one in order to get to step three. Because if you're not spending time with the Creator, letting him lead you in a journey that strengthens your faith and strengthens you. If you're not doing step one, you can't do step three. Why? Because in step three, you're going to be afraid to jump out. Step one is necessary. You got to involve him in your daily life because God wants to speak to you. He wants to train you. He wants to teach you. He wants to walk with you. And so step number one gives you the boldness and the courage to step out in faith. You know what step number two does? It gives you the time to do it. Saying the right no makes sure that you have time for the right yes. Come on, have you ever seen somebody on the road that needed help, and then you decided to help them, and then you just got a little frustrated because you're like, God, I don't have time for this today. I am busy. You are interrupting my day. And God says, you're interrupting my day. I had this plan before you was born. You the one that done got too busy. You ain't leaving no margin, and you get mad at me for making you do what I already planned for you to do. Right? So we need to do step one so it gives us the boldness. We need to do step two so it gives us the margin and the time. And then we need to do step three. We need to step out in faith. Why? Because Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing and what? Hearing the word of God. So the faith that you need to do the thing he's called you to do comes by you doing step one. Does that make sense, Journey? The faith that you need. Some of you guys aren't stepping out because we're not doing step one and we're not getting the faith that we need. And then some of us have said too many yeses, so we don't have the time to actually do it. See, Joshua 1:9, God is about to lead the Israelites into the promise. Okay? So this is the moment they've been through the wilderness, right? God is about to lead them into the promised land through Joshua. And here's what he says to Joshua that I believe he says to us. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Come on, somebody. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Come on, Journey Church. He's saying, by the way, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for I am going to be with you. Listen, he's saying, by the way, Joshua, what you've seen me do in the wilderness is what I want to do in the promise. I've carried you through all of those small moments, and I'm still here, and I will carry you through the big moments. I will carry you through the finish line. Amen? Listen, a long time ago, I heard that the richest place in the world is the graveyard, because that's where most dreams go to die with the people. Come on, some of you, God has called you to write a book. He called you to write music. He called you to start a ministry. He called you to start a business. He called you to do something. What is it that God has put on your heart to do? Some of us are never going to get to hear that song because you're either too busy or don't have the faith to write it. How many things have gone to the grave with us? Well, not us, but with them. I hope it doesn't go with us. I hope this message challenges you, that it doesn't go with. I pray that it changes right here in this room. Some of you, God told you to write a book. He told you to write a song. He told you to build a business. It's time to stop making excuses. You won't have the time if you don't repost some yeses. And you won't have the courage if you don't spend time with him. And so today I want to challenge us, Journey Church, to step out in faith and do what he created us to do. Guys, thank God for the person that made the microwave. Praise the Lord. I'm glad he was obedient. I think we all is, right? Thank God for the person that made the light bulb. I'm dark. Y'all wouldn't have seen me up in this spot if it wasn't for this dude that made the light bulb, right? Thank God for Pastor Scott starting Journey Church, because that's why we up in here today, right? You got to step out, right? Thank God for his boldness to do this. We need to step into the thing that God has for us. See, years ago, I heard this story about this warden in a prison that they were doing a news article with. Okay, so they're doing this article with this warden, and this warden takes a few prisoners out of their cell. They wanted to do this test. And some of those prisoners had like 5 years left in their sentence, 10 years left in their sentence, 15 years, all different amounts. And so the warden gets these people. He brings them into this room, and he points at this door. And he says, by the way, guys, that door right there, I want any of you, if you're willing, to open it. But if you open that door, whatever's on the other side of that door will now become your new sentence. Let me elaborate. If you have 5 years left to your sentence, and on the other side of that door, there's a 10, now you're serving 10 years. But if on the other side of the door, there's a 1, your sentence goes down to 1 year. By the way, if you got 10 years left and it's 15, you go up to 15. But if it's 3, you go down to 3. And so it says, one by one, each one of the prisoners walked up to that door and walked away. Next person goes up, walks away. Next person goes up, walks away. So after the interview, the camera guy goes up to the warden and he says, just out of curiosity, what's on the other side of the door? What would be that sentence? And the warden turns to him and says, freedom. But the sad part is most people are more comfortable being uncomfortable in what they know than to step out in faith into the unknown. We are more comfortable staying uncomfortable in what we know. At least I know that I can pay the bills this month. At least I know that in this relationship, maybe it's not that good, but it ain't that bad. At least I know we're so comfortable in something that's uncomfortable because we know it, than to say, God, I don't know what's out here. I don't know if I step out of this boat, if I can walk on water. But today, God, because of that time that I spent with you and you encouraging my faith, because of the yeses that I went back and made no so I can have more time, today, God, I'm willing to step out in faith and see what's on the other side of this thing. Here's the thing, Journey Church. Don't stay trapped in a prison of fear. Come on, God created you on purpose for a purpose. And he says in Jeremiah, the life that I have for you, the plans that I have for you are good. What are you afraid of? Here's the thing, you're not gonna make it out of this thing alive. Newsflash, 10 out of 10 people die. So at the end of the day, you ain't gonna make it out of this alive. You're gonna die anyway. And we're gonna be with him in eternity, praise God. But what are you afraid of? Death, it's coming. So God is saying, listen, if you have nothing to fear, if you know your eternity is secure, if you know that I am with you, if you know that I am for you, if you know that I never fail, why are you afraid of failing? Will you trust me? And if you don't trust me yet, spend time with me. Let me part some seas for you. Let me fix some things for you. Let me heal some things in you. And when I do that, then you'll be ready to step out into the unknown. And here's the thing, son, I want you to jump, because when you jump off that cliff, you're gonna soar. Your parachute is gonna open. I'm gonna be with you, and you're gonna get to enjoy things from a whole different level and get to see my power at work. I'm gonna split seas in your life. But if you just stand on that cliff thinking, well, it'd be nice to jump, but what if I, like, you know, like, I, you know, it's, you know, I maybe, but what if it doesn't work? But what if it does? What if my parachute doesn't open? But what if it does? What if I fail? But what if you don't? So often the enemy is causing you to think about all these negative ifs. See, I've learned years ago, and I'm going to wrap up with this, that the enemy wants to use the ifs in your life, IF, to insert fear. All of your question marks. What if my kids don't do this? What the things that keep you up at night? What if? The enemy wants to use the ifs in your life, the things that you don't know because you can't see tomorrow. He wants to use those ifs to insert fear. But did you know that God is fighting for those same ifs? Did you know that God is battling for the same ifs, IF, and God wants to use those ifs in your life, those question marks, to insert faith? Come on, the enemy wants to insert fear, and God wants to insert faith. Who are you gonna let win? Are you gonna live a quiet life of desperation and one day wish that maybe you would have stepped out? When you're on your deathbed and you're sitting there and it's the end of your life, do you wanna sit there and say, man, I wish I would have taken a chance? They said there's two pains in this life. The pain of discipline and the pain of regret. They say the pain of discipline weighs ounces and the pain of regret weighs tons. Journey today is the day. Don't wait until you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. And by the way, it's never too late. You can start today. If you're over 90, 100. If you're at 100, 110. I don't think anybody in here is over 110. So I cleared my, somebody in here is like, well, he ain't hit my age. Yes, I did. And 120 plus, it's not too late. Because if God woke you up this morning, if he put breath in your lungs, he's not finished with you. So my prayer, Journey Church, is that today will be the day that we stop being afraid, that we spend time with him to get the plan, say no so we have time for the plan, step out in faith and execute the plan, and watch God do miracles in and through our lives. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for how amazing you are. God, we thank you that your presence, your spirit, you are here in this room with us right now. And God, you're tugging on somebody's heart saying, are you ready yet? I've had the plan before you were born. I know that you have your own plan, but trust me, my plan is better. I won't lead you through Philistine country that might hurt you. I'm gonna lead you to the Red Sea and part it for you so you can see my faithfulness. So God, I pray that today, Lord, that you would reignite that flame in us, that we would write the book, write the song, build the ministry, build the side business, do that thing that's been on our heart that we've been afraid to do, because what if we fail? Who cares? We fail if we don't do it. And so today, God, I pray for an anointing of boldness to go out and do your will and do your work so that one day, when time no longer matters, because we're in eternity, we're gonna get to hear the words we all long to hear. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come share it in your master's glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.